Hello, friends. Welcome to the 7th episode of Blue Jays Mike. My name is David, and normally I would do an everyday play-by-play of your Toronto Blue Jays, but today we have a special guest on Blue Jays Mike. Blue Jays fans, you might know him very well. His name is Ian Hunter. He is a self-proclaimed Blue Jays super fan. He's also written pieces for Sportsnet, BuzzFeed, the Canadian Baseball Network, and he has his own Twitter handle, at BlueJayHunter on Twitter. You know, he also has a website, BlueJayHunter.com. So Ian is a pretty popular Blue Jays blogger, and he's joining me right now. How are you, Ian?
Hey, doing great. Thank you, and thank you for all those kind words. That was very nice of you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this is my first time doing a interview for Blue Jays Mike, so I appreciate you being the first guest on my podcast. Besides everything that I mentioned about you, is there anything else you want Blue Jays fans to know about you?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, I've been writing about the Blue Jays kind of as a hobby, I would say, for, I think this summer is actually 10 years. I started my blog in August of 2007, I want to say. And, you know, more or less, it's basically been just like a hobby, a side project of mine where I would kind of, where I used to just basically vent my frustrations about the Blue Jays, because back then there were a lot of frustrations. There wasn't much good about the team.
Yeah.
They had some fun spikes here and there in the late 2000s, but for the most part, there was a lot of frustration. So, I mean, I've been doing that the past few years with the resurgence of the Blue Jays. It's been a lot more fun, a lot easier to write about the Blue Jays, a lot easier to interact with people and find things to talk about. So, you know, I've been taking it, to me, it's basically, I mean, if you want, you could almost take it as a full-time job. Like, you could spend all day writing about the Blue Jays. So, I mean, at my core, I'm still a Jays fan. I think I'm always going to be a Blue Jays fan, but I try to, you know, when I'm watching the game, I try to see it with more of a critical eye and not be, you know, quite as high or quite as low as the typical fan would be. But at my core, I still love the Jays. I always will, no matter whether they're in the tank or whether they win a World Series.
Speaking of critical eye, what are your thoughts on the Blue Jays season so far? I mean, they're 1-6. I mean, if you told me earlier in spring training that they're going to be 1-6 during the regular season, well, I wouldn't believe you.
No, it has not been fun to watch so far. I want to say that the Jays are typically a slow starting team in April. I can't recall an April where they just kind of came out of the gate and were on fire. So I don't really know what the explanation is for that. Maybe it has something to do with the World Baseball Classic and the extended spring training, and things were kind of, spring training was a lot longer this year, it seemed like, and maybe all the bat, because it's not really the pitching and that's a concern right now. It's the hitting, to me, where they just cannot string together hits or runs or drive guys in from scoring position. That's my big concern. I tweeted out today, I know there's a lot of people who are worried about the Jays and think, oh my God, they're not going to make the playoffs. But last year they had three runs where they were had a 1-6 record in 2015. They also, at one point during that season, were on a 1-6 run. So by no means does this mean that the season is over or are they going to lose the division. It's just, it's way too early to start freaking out.
That's
and
right.
Even if they lose tonight and they go down 1-7, I'm not I'm concerned about the offense, but I don't think this is going to sink their hopes in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I think it's not just the pitching that's the problem with the Blue Jays. It's their offense. I mean, Jose Bautista entering today's game was batting 120 in like 20 to 30 plate appearances. And, you know, this is a player who I thought would, you know, I thought he was going to hit a lot of home runs in the beginning of the season, because he, from all the comments that you heard from Mark Shapiro, you know, about Bautista during spring training, he seemed like a guy who was on a resurgence. He seemed like he refined his batting stance and his swing to a point where he's going to hit a lot of home runs this season. But so far, Jose Bautista hasn't done much this season. What do you think is wrong with him?
I don't know. I mean, John Gibbons also said that he thought Jose Bautista looked... this is the best that he's ever seen Bautista look
right.
in spring training, which says a lot. And so far at the plate, Joey Bats has not brung it. Russell Martin is like, well, he's 0-19 to start the season now.
I know.
As well. It's just, the thing to me is that right-handed pitching is really eating up the Blue Jays right now. If you look at their overall statistics, they haven't faced a lot of lefties, but for the most part, it's been right-handers, and which I saw, I'm seeing a lot of disturbing trends carrying over from last season, like late in the season and into the playoffs, when the Blue, like, teams would just send power righties up against the Blue Jays, and they had no answer. Absolutely. I'm seeing that a lot again so far in the first week of action. I don't know how to fix that. I think Jose Bautista is going to come around. I mean, he's a veteran player. I want to say he's typically a slow starter as well. He's he's usually a guy who turns it on, you know, closer to June and July. I don't think there's a lot to be concerned about. For me, the feather in Bautista's cap right now is he's looked really solid in the outfield. He's made some really great throws. I mean, I feel like that arm speed is back. He's already picked up some outfield assists, and he's made some really strong throws from the outfield, which is an extremely positive sign.
Right.
Because you saw teams exploit that the last few years. The Kansas City Royals really took advantage of that in the playoffs. They ran on him a lot. Teams took advantage of him last year as well. So now you're starting to see that kind of come around, and you know, if anything, Bautista, you can always count his plate discipline is always second to none. He can draw a walk. I feel like the power is going to come around, and I feel like the hits are going to get there. But in the meantime, he's a solid guy to get on base, and he's looked really good in the outfield. So
yeah,
those are two positives for me right now.
Yeah, did you see that throw the other day at Tampa Bay where he tried to gun down Longoria? I mean, that was a beautiful throw. I mean, Longoria was safe, unfortunately, but, you know, Bautista still got a cannon.
Yeah, there's been a few plays that were really close at the plate, actually, where, you know, a few years ago, or even last year, there's no way the ball even comes close to reaching the plate. And for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's his off-season conditioning or whatever, but he's looked fantastic in the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Speaking of offensive problems, the Blue Jays pitching hasn't been doing well so far this season as well. I mean, J.A. Happ yesterday struck out 8, sure, and that's a pretty decent performance when he strikes out 8, but he also gave up 4 runs. He gave up 4 and 2/3 of an inning, so it wasn't necessarily J.A. Happ's best pitching yesterday. What do you think of the rotation so far this season for the Jays?
Well, yeah, going into yesterday, J-Hap in that game in Baltimore, I thought was okay. The concern for me yesterday was the fact that the Brewers were hitting him, and they were hitting him hard. Like, yeah. There was the balls that they were hitting into the outfield and over the fence were lasers. That was a little bit concerning to me, but unless it becomes a trend, I think it's something that, you know, it's just maybe a start-by-start thing. Overall, I mean, you got to take into account that stinker from Francisco Liriano, but, I mean, he's allowed to have the odd clunker every now and again. But overall, I mean, I would say they are kind of they haven't lived up to the hype so far this season, but again, it's very early. But they have given quite a few quality starts, I think. Stroman, to me, in his work so far, has been probably the Blue Jays' most impressive pitcher.
Right.
Which is a positive sign, because you saw him just flat out dominate in the World Baseball Classic. And he's carrying those results over into the regular season, which is a really positive sign. Because if you can turn him around, in addition to Aaron Sanchez, and even if J-Hap ends up taking a step backwards and Marco Estrada takes a step backwards, I still think that this Jays rotation is probably almost as good as it was last year.
What about the bullpen? What are your thoughts on the bullpen?
Well, you saw how crucial Roberto Osuna is to this bullpen, because last week when he was on the DL, it was like John Gibbons just didn't know what to do. I mean, Jason Grilli, for as fun as he is to watch, I don't think he's not the Blue Jays' best high leverage reliever. In fact, I think he's probably maybe even the third or fourth. So in that sense, the Blue Jays really had to shuffle things around. You saw Casey Lawrence in a few get called up to the big leagues, mm-hmm. and he was kind of thrown into the fire in that game in Tampa Bay when they lost in extra innings. So I was a bit alarmed by that, but now the fact that Osuna is back, things can kind of fall into place. The J.P. Howell injury, so long as Aaron Loop is a serviceable lefty, I mean, I'm not expecting him to be, you know, Brett Cecil of last year or the season before. I think team having like a solid, dependable lefty like Brett Cecil is very rare in the American League. So long as Loop isn't, you know, a dumpster fire out there, you know, my expectations for a lefty are pretty low, because the Blue Jays really, over the past few years, they really haven't had more than one solid lefty in the bullpen. You know, the last 2 years, it's basically been Brett Cecil. And even at times, Brett Cecil wasn't all that great at stretches during the season. Overall, on the bullpen, I mean, I feel okay about it. I have a feeling the Jays are going to be dipping into the minor leagues a lot this season to pull up guys. You know, maybe they bring Casey Lawrence back, maybe Matt Dermody, other guys like that to fill the void, because it's going to be a long season. I mean, we're already like a week and a half in, and they've already called up a bunch of guys, so it's not overly concerning, but, you know, it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely. You brought up a good point, though, that the Jays might look for, you know, help in the bullpen in their farm system. That is a point of view that I don't think I never thought of it before. I think that's a really good point, is what I'm trying to say. What do you think should be the takeaway message for Blue Jays fans who are concerned about the starting pitching and the bullpen?
Well, just the starting, like overall, or just about the pitching in general?
Overall.
Well, I mean, it's a long season. Like, you know, if we're going to get overly concerned about the Jays in week two, you're just going to burn yourself out.
I'm one of those fans, by the way. I'm very concerned right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's way too long. I mean, you know, sometimes if things are going the way they have, I mean, this may make me a bad fan, but sometimes I just turn the game off, or I change the channel, or I walk away for a little bit.
How dare you?
You know, just to kind of cool off, because I find that, you know, if things are going poorly, I think like that game on Sunday, the 7-2 game or whatever, and if there's no real sign of things turning around, you kind of stew and you get angry. Mm. And so I can recognize when that's about to happen. So sometimes I just kind of step away for a little bit, and it just helps you gain a little bit of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not for everybody. Maybe makes me a bit of a fair weather fan, but you know, it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You got to be patient. And it's still only, we're mid April. It's not even end of April yet. So, I mean, just hang on. There's so much that can change. I feel like this team is way too talented to keep performing this way. Like, they have to hit their way out of it. It's not like, they're not the Minnesota Twins, they're not the Oakland A's, they're not the Atlanta Braves. This is Toronto Blue Jays. Like, they made the ALCS 2 years in a row. That wasn't an accident. It was by design. They have so much talent on this roster. For them to all perform badly at the same time for an extended period, it's not going to happen. They're going to come out of it. It's just right now, it just feels like it's never going to end, but it will.
Speaking of talent, did you see Russell Martin hit that double right now in the bottom of the seventh?
Yeah, it's there he goes. So, you know, just a little while ago, we were talking about how he's over, and now he's finally he's off the snide. So he got the monkey off his back, and maybe this is the start of the comeback.
Oh, but the inning just ended. Oh,
I know.
That's a bummer. Any observations from today's game that you have about the offense?
I mean, it's more of the same, right? Like, it's another righty shutting down the Blue Jays. Last year, the one thing that was, to me, that one of the most frustrating things was that the Jays were one of the top teams in baseball who took a lot of called strikes and a lot of borderline pitches. It seemed like at times they were almost afraid to swing the bat and afraid to put the ball in play. And sometimes it's a good thing, because if you've got a wild pitcher on the mound, they will, you know, they'll walk you in, and just things will take care of itself. But I would almost prefer to have an aggressive team that does put the ball in play, because then it goes through an infielder's legs, you know. You give yourself a much better chance than just standing there and waiting for the pitcher to make a mistake and throw a ball outside the zone. I'm seeing a lot of that this year, as I did in like August and September of last year, which is frustrating. And it's a trend that I'm hoping doesn't continue.
Yeah, I mean, if the trend continues, the Blue Jays are not going to hit all season, and that's going to be disastrous. So let's pray on their offensive resurgence soon. You know, I want to transition now from talking about the Blue Jays to talking about blogging about the Blue Jays. You know, I'm very curious to hear about your daily routine as a Blue Jays blogger. Could you briefly talk about that? And by the way, you don't have to share any highly classified information if you don't want to. I'm very curious about what it's like for Ian Hunter, the Blue Jays blogger. What's his routine every day?
Sure. Well, I mean, it varies. Things change now that the season's underway. During the off season, it's pretty loosey-goosey. Like, it's just kind of write whenever you have time or whenever inspiration strikes. But now that the season's underway, I usually, unless there's a development overnight or something, my morning is not. It's just kind of where I'm thinking about things to write. But for the most part, I'm like, I have a son, so I'm getting him ready for daycare and getting ready to go to work. So then I do my day job, but as I'm working, ideas are percolating in my head. If I'm thinking about something about writing later on that evening, and if inspiration strikes, I'll go home, maybe write a few notes, watch the baseball game, and then I tend to most of my writing. I used to write late at night, like after the game, probably anywhere between like 11 p.m. and like 1 a.m.
Wow, that's
was.
late.
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a really big night owl. I thought, I'm gonna. This is where I can get my work done. But I'm actually starting to kind of shift into. I'm trying to get some stuff done in the morning because I find that when you first wake up, or at least for me, is when I'm like most productive because later at night I'm like nodding off or I'm trying to write something or and I fall asleep mid-sentence with my WordPress dashboard open. And so that's when I started thinking, okay, well, maybe I should start doing this in the morning, or maybe what I'll do is I'll just do like a really rough draft in the evening and then polish it in the morning. So, I mean, it's not that glamorous, but I mean, that's essentially my routine. On a weekend, I'll watch the game as well. Maybe I'll post something in the morning or afternoon, but that's essentially what happens.
So, for the aspiring Blue Jays bloggers out there, would you say it's very doable to produce content day in and day out?
Well, yeah, I think it's easier than it ever is, than it's ever been, but it's also more difficult than it's ever been. Easier because there are so many more platforms for
Right.
people to use to get their content out there. When I started, my blog was on a Blogspot address. Like, this was before Twitter existed. This was before Facebook. I don't think Tumblr was around or any of those social networks. It was just write on a Blogspot, and you hope somehow you email it to someone. I think that was sharing. That was sharing an article when I first started. Now there's umpteen ways to write, places to write things. It's harder than ever because there's so many more voices, right?
Yep.
There, everybody, it seems like, is writing about the Blue Jays, or out there's way more outlets who understand that Blue Jays fans are very rabid
Yep.
about the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're trying to put out Blue Jays articles as well. So it can be tough to make your work stand out, and it's something that I struggle with as well. I'm always wondering, how do I make myself different? Because at any given moment, I mean, you could a moment something could happen in a Blue Jays game, and everyone writes the same thing,
Yeah.
or it's the same highlight. Oh, Josh Donaldson, the one I remember most vividly recently was the Josh Donaldson, how he hit his home runs in spring training and or in those minor league games, and he just walked into the dugout, which is, a fairly innocuous thing, nothing really all that important, and everybody wrote about it, or they at least tweeted the videos. So to me, I'm like, well, how am I going to make myself different? How am I going to pose this? Because I knew I wanted to mention it. And the way I framed it was, the headline was, Josh Donaldson's spring training home runs are the thing of legend. And I mean, I didn't really add much more to it than anybody else did. I think I had one one additional video, but it's just a different way to frame something that everyone else is talking about. That's what I'm striving to do, and I think that's what, if you're just starting becoming a sports writer or even a Blue Jays writer, I think that's the key to kind of get your stuff read and your voice heard.
And not to mention that when it comes to producing content, it's not just enough to write about the Blue Jays. I think it's important to find something that you enjoy doing, and, you know, a segment or an idea that you could see yourself doing every day. Like for me, I really enjoy doing play-by-play, you know, but at the same time, I don't have that much time, you know, in my day as well. So, you know, for me, I originally started with the idea of doing play-by-play for the entire 9 innings, right? And I thought it was very doable, but over time, I sort of realized, hey, I'm not being realistic right now. I need to sort of refine it so that, you know, it fits my schedule, and at the same time, I still enjoy what I'm doing. And so I started to narrow it down to the 9th inning, you know, because that's when I'm watching the games more carefully, and I'm not just, like, you know, dozing off or eating a bag of chips and not caring about what's going on. So, you know, I think it's important to find, you know, a niche that you love, and you know, a niche that you could see yourself doing on a fairly routine basis. Do you have any suggestions for fans on how to find their niches?
I guess the best advice I can give is, you know, find something that you enjoy writing about or talking about, because if you try to force yourself to write about a topic you're not interested in, then why is anybody else going to be interested in it?
Right.
You know, if I'm, you know, I enjoy baseball. It's my favorite sport. I'm a one sport guy. I don't follow any other professional sports, but, you know, for the most part, I just watch the Blue Jays. I don't really pick up another team. So if I were to suddenly shift gears tomorrow and start writing about the Texas Rangers, you know, it would be disingenuous.
And it would be pretty random too.
Yeah, I would be forcing it. And people will pick up on it because people are perceptive. You know, I can't fake being a Rangers fan, and I wouldn't want to fake being a Rangers fan, but it's something that you basically have to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you are trying to write something, if you're trying to write something that's clickbait, or if you're just doing it to get page views and you're not really interested about changing the dialogue or presenting an interesting take on something, then it'll get forgotten. Because
yeah.
If you're writing a clickbait article, people will just click on it, they get angry, or they'll react to it, and then they'll move on. Stuff like that doesn't resonate with people. The things that resonate with people are interesting pieces that you care about. Like I said, because if you care about a piece, then someone else is probably going to care about it as well. That's the best advice I can give, because I genuinely care about the Toronto Blue Jays and how well they're doing. I feel like I have a vested interest in them because, I mean, I've been following them since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's interesting to me, and it will always be interesting to me. You know, I don't know if I'm going to blog about them until I'm, you know, 60 or 70 years old, but as long as I feel like I need an outlet, I'm going to keep writing about it. And if a time comes where I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, then I'll probably back away from it, because you can't force it. People can tell when you're forcing something.
Yeah.
So just, you know, be true to yourself. If find something that you are interested in, and people will eventually gravitate towards it.
Yeah, so the takeaway here is to find something that you would enjoy doing, and something that you care about. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, or even another thing too is maybe it's an area that you don't have a lot of experience in, but you're interested in learning more about. So maybe for example, if I wanted to get into hockey, and I started a blog about a novice hockey fan, and I would talk about it from that perspective as someone who is watching baseball and I'm getting into hockey, and I would talk about it from that perspective. That's a really great way to kind of learn the subject, because I mean essentially that's what I did with baseball. I followed the Jays as a kid, but I wasn't really interested in the nuts and bolts of the game and RBIs and WAR and all that. WAR didn't exist back then. So as I started writing, I started learning more about the game and the intricacies of the game and plays and stats and everything. I find that writing about the Blue Jays and baseball has made me a more well-versed baseball fan. And I feel like I've learned a lot in the last 10 years. So if you really want to immerse yourself in something like that and pick up something, then that's definitely the way to do it. It's a little scary at first, but
yeah, right. Definitely.
I mean, once you get the hang of it, it's really interesting. And there's always, especially with the Blue Jays, I feel like it's a really tight-knit community, a very strong community, and it's people are always willing to help each other out. So, you know, we were all at one point. I mean, I was just starting out a blog, so we all know how it is to start off. And there's no judgment at all. It's just, you know, do something that you love, and it'll sustain itself over the long term.
I didn't realize that the Blue Jays community was very supportive. I mean, I'm relatively new to the community, and so I'm still learning as I go, but that's good to know. So don't be afraid, Blue Jays fans. If you want to cover the Blue Jays, you have a community behind you, so a very caring community. I'm going to ask you a couple of rapid-fire questions, and then I'll let you go afterwards. Who are your favorite Blue Jays reporters?
Well, as far as reporters go, I mean, Shai Davidi of Sportsnet has been a pretty big staple that I always read. Always covers the team very well. Andrew Stoughton of Blue Jays Nation, he also writes for Vice Sports, and he does stuff for The Athletic as well. He was kind of the one guy who I've always read, and I always thought I've really enjoyed his work over the years. Stacey May Fowles, if you're not subscribed to her Baseball Life Advice newsletter, I highly suggest you do. She's someone who I always enjoyed her work, and she has a brand new book out right now as well. Drew Fairservice, who, he doesn't write quite as much, but he's one of the co-hosts with Andrew Stoughton on the Birds All Day podcast. I really enjoy him as well. And yeah, those are probably my top favorites, Blue Jays writers. And reporters, Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star is, he's always one who I enjoy because he always tries to get like the odd barb in against, like, whether it's like the front office or a player. He does it very subtly. So I respect him for that. He's been on the Blue Jays beat for a very long time. So he's also someone I always enjoy reading.
What about catchphrases? Do you have any favorite catchphrases from Blue Jays broadcasters? It could be radio play-by-play. It could be Buck. It could be Dan. Doesn't matter.
You know, I know people go back and forth on Buck Martinez, but, you know, for my money, he's a lot of fun to listen to. And
oh yeah,
I think my favorite Buckism is the "get up, get up, gone."
you could say that again.
Yeah, especially when he gets like in the playoffs, or if it's in a clutch situation, when his voice really goes up. Those ones are probably my favorite, and for some reason I like the way he says Josh Donaldson, because it's not just Josh Donaldson. He says Josh Donaldson. I always enjoy it. So I for some reason I told that to my young son, and anytime he says Josh Donaldson now, he goes Josh Donaldson. So I mean that's probably my favorite. There's not really much to choose from, but yeah, those are probably my favorites.
Is that when Buck Martinez says Josh Donaldson, do you think he's trying to mimic a Canadian accent when he's saying that, or is that just his own way of saying it?
I don't know. It's Buck does these kind of weird things during the broadcast, which if you were speaking like a conversation on the street, I feel like you wouldn't sound that way, but because he's on the broadcast, it's he makes these like weird inflections, but I don't know.
So
like,
it's for shock value, I guess.
Yeah, I find it kind of interesting. It just gives the broadcast a little bit of a different feel.
Yeah.
Or for some reason, but yeah, it's odd, but those are the kind of quirks that make Buck Martinez the lovable broadcaster he is.
Yeah. I mean, I love Buck, but I love Dan the most when it comes to Blue Jays broadcasting. I love his deep voice. You know, it feels like I'm watching ESPN Sunday Night Baseball every time I hear him broadcast the Blue Jays. So, well, that's all the questions I have for you today, Ian. Thank you so much for being my first guest on Blue Jays Mike, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, David. It was good to chat with you, and hopefully we'll be talking about the Jays in a much better situation as the season progresses.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you again.
All right. No problem.